recorded on a Doc song. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here again this morning, hear another portion of our word. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you've given us this week. May everything we do in this service be in accordance with thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthdays. Do we have any birthdays?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Okay, anybody got anything to say? David? Brother Lee?
Yes, I can think of a few. It's good to see you all this morning, and it's good to see some of our folks trickling back from Florida. Got the Bruners here this morning, and we'll expect some more pretty soon. So I have a number of prayer requests to share with you. Our list of COVID patients is down to one, I think. Judy McCauley is still in rehab and is still not doing very well, so keep her in your prayers, if you will. And Kay Jacina requests a prayer for her sister Vicki Dunaway, who's very ill. And Eddie Jacina asks us to pray for his brother-in-law, Paul Medler, who had surgery last Monday. And also for a good friend, Mabel Bitzer, who's seriously ill also. Grace Lunsford had requested prayer since she moved to Georgia. She's trying to find a church where she can serve the best, and she's asked us to pray about that. And doctors are still trying to save Lisa Mames' vision. So that's certainly a matter for prayer. And Bucky Overstreet, the poor fellow has lost his wife and his stepson and his stepdaughter-in-law, all in a space of about 6 weeks. So we'd ask you to pray for Bucky. Ashley Teeter's sporting a broken arm, but she wants you to pray with her that she'll not need surgery on it when they take off the cast. And then we have our long-term patients. Beg your pardon?
They took her cast off this week.
Well, they did?
Yes. And she does not need surgery.
Okay. You don't have to pray about that then. Scratch that. You can thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because a broken arm is bad enough, but if you have to have further surgery on it, it compounds the problem. We have our cancer patients that we have been holding in prayer. Bud Jeanette, Allison Moss, and Randy Olson, Kagan Guy, Ron Cundiff, Jimmy Whittaker. Keep them in thought. And Roy Williams, who's making a comeback from his series of mini strokes. And we ask you to pray for him. And the folks at Thompson Hood Veterans Center, the patients, including Tommy Garrett, and the folks who work there, including three of our own. Kristen Rhoda Christie at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home, and our college students. And we have, for a little church, we have a bunch of college students. Rhea Day and Allie Claggett and Nathan Marshall and Katie Bowman and Dalton Hall and Lanny Knowles and Olivia Wright and Shelby Montgomery. So that's quite a few for a church this size, I think. Keep them in your prayers too. And those are all the prayer requests that I know of right now. We're glad if you're visiting with us today. We're just happy you're here. If you're a member here, we're happy you're here too. There's a remarkably detailed description of the crucifixion of Jesus, of all places, in the book of Psalms. There it is. It gives what amounts to an eyewitness account of the crucifixion, even though it was written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. It's unmistakably a prophecy of what was going to happen, what God had planned to happen. The psalm opens with the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And those are familiar words to us because Jesus uttered those same words on the cross as he bore our sins. Verse 7 of the psalm offers an amazingly accurate report of the mocking and the insults that were hurled at Jesus. Verse 15 mentions that the sufferer became extremely thirsty. And as always happened during a crucifixion, Jesus cried out, I thirst, on the cross. Verse 16 includes words, they pierced my hands and my feet, which of course was written hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented. And verses 19 and 21, and verse 18 says, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment, which is specifically what they did in the case of Jesus. But the closing verses of the psalm use words like strength, help, deliver, rescue, save. God did not save Jesus from dying, but he did deliver him from death 3 days later, when he rose to life again. And the psalm ends with a prediction that God will be praised for generations to come. And sure enough, here we are, praising God for his power to forgive our sins, his power to raise Jesus from the dead, and we remember him again today with this loaf and cup as emblems of his body and his blood given for us.
Communion song will be number 315. 315, rock of ages.
Rock of ages, let for me, let me find myself in thee, let the water in the blood from thy lips right with flow. Of sin, the cup of truth, take a breath, make me pure.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son who died for our sins. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Lord, be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance to thy will. We ask you to look after our sick, be with the family that's lost loved ones, and be with the men and women that protect this great country and give us the freedoms that we have. So we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents your broken body and your blood shed on Calvary's cross for our sins. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you've provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you join me this morning in singing some hymns of praise. Number 505 is our first song this morning. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. Our souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light, and the golden offering at the cross. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Rather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. And then let's turn to number 371, a little chorus of thanksgiving, and certainly a good time to thank the Lord. Number 371. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's so good to me. He's so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Then our prayer hymn this morning is number 436. And I'm going to ask if we just stand and join in singing just the first verse as we come together in prayer. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Our everlasting Lord, you've always been good to us. And every good and perfect gift that has cheered our lives has come from you. So help us never to blame you for tragedies we experience or hear about. Teach us rather to see how you're always there to help us recover when problems threaten to overwhelm us. You are our refuge, our strength, our hope. We lift our hearts and our voices in praise for your presence here among us today. And we know from our own personal experience, as well as from the Scriptures, that the Spirit is willing, but often the flesh is weak. So we ask that you'll show us how to deal with temptation better than we do now. Help us to turn to you when we're weak and find the strength we need to be faithful to you. We want to bring joy to you, never disappointment. There's so many opportunities to express our love for people around us and even for people we don't even know or never will know. Give us hearts of compassion for all, especially for those who've not found Jesus as their Savior, for their loss would be far greater than any other. Help us do what we can to share with them His saving good news. We ask you to touch our hearts and minds as we worship you today, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a frog in residence today for some reason, and I have to ask your patience. I have a passage of Scripture in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I want to read just a few verses from that chapter, beginning at verse 38. Matthew 5:38. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking to a crowd of people. And he says, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want to think about those few verses this morning and begin with the story of Amber Geiger. You may have read this recently in the news. But Amber Geiger had just finished a 13-hour shift as a Dallas police officer. And she was on her way home. She was texting her boyfriend, who was also a cop. And she pulled into a parking garage, tired and distracted, did not notice that she parked on the wrong level in the parking garage. So when she entered what she thought was her apartment, she encountered a man named Botham Jean. And she was terrified, so she drew her service revolver and shot him in the heart, killed him. And it was only afterwards she realized she was in the wrong apartment, one floor above her own, and she had killed an innocent man in his own home. She was found guilty of murder, sentenced to 10 years in prison. During the trial, or at the end of the trial, during the what they call victim impact statements, Botham Jean's brother, Brant, changed the entire dynamics of the proceeding when he spoke directly and publicly to Amber Geiger. And he said, these are his words, I love you just like anyone else. I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die in prison. I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what both of them would want. And the best would be to give your life to Christ. And after wrapping up his statement, Brant asked the judge, Tammy Kemp, if he could give Geiger a hug. He said, I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please? So he and Geiger embraced each other for nearly a minute, before both of them then returned to their seats. And Brant then walked out of the courtroom, got a thumbs up from his father. But Judge Tammy Kemp left the room. She returned a moment later with her own personal Bible. And she gave the Bible to Geiger. She said, you just need a tiny mustard seed of faith. You start with this, and she pointed out John 3:16 in the Bible. And Kemp and Geiger, the judge and the defendant, then hugged. And Geiger whispered something in the judge's ear. The judge said, you haven't done so much that you can't be forgiven. You did something bad in one moment of time. What you do now is what matters. and they led Geiger away to begin her prison sentence. And the judge was harshly criticized for what she had done, but the prosecutor said everything changed in the courtroom after Brandt's testimony and the judge's actions. Those who seemed to want an eye for an eye respected Brandt's wishes. There were a lot of tears. Well, we've all heard of eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a life for a life, and that seems fair. When Jesus says, "You may have heard this said," he was talking about the Mosaic Law, which Moses had delivered to the people of Israel after he received it from God. And they had a lot of rules to follow. And these rules were designed by God to honor His holiness, to keep the Israelites in line with His covenant that He made with them, and to make them distinctly different from all the nations around them, because they worship one God, and they were to be obedient to that one God. So if one of God's people broke the law and stole from his neighbor, or hit his co-worker in the mouth, or killed somebody he was angry with, the law said he pays back what he took. He gets a tooth knocked out, he's put to death, whatever he had done, he gets that in return. That's what the law said, and that's what Jesus' audience had heard all their lives. So when Jesus says, "But I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If someone hits you, turn to them the other cheek. If someone sues you and takes your shirt, give them your coat as well. If a soldier asks you to carry his stuff a mile," and this was a prerogative that the Roman soldiers had, they could draft a bystander to carry their gear for a mile, only for a mile. Jesus said, if a soldier makes you carry his stuff a mile, carry it an extra mile. Give when someone asks to borrow something. And you know, I can just picture that crowd, mouths dropped open. And the word "what" was heard all over the crowd. What? What did he say? Yeah. That's not what the law says to do. But here's the point. The point what Jesus was trying to make is that if people who follow the Lord are no different from anyone else, what impact will we have? What influence will we have? I'll tell you another story about Toby Mack. His real name is Kevin Michael McKeon. But he buried his 21-year-old son. Toby is a Christian hip-hop artist, songwriter, music producer. He started out with a group called DC Talk, and he produced an album called Jesus Freak in 1995. But his idea is that people who love and follow Jesus in this world will seem like freaks because their lives are so radically different from the people around them. He said, and this I'm quoting him, he says, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny Him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." So the world was watching when Toby Mack buried his son. They were watching to see what he would do with his grief and his pain. They want to see if he acknowledged Jesus just with his lips or with his life. How will he deal with the struggle, the sorrow? How will he acknowledge the goodness and the grace of God at a time like that? Powerful truth is that Jesus and I cannot both occupy the throne in my life. There's only room for one. And if He's king, then he expects something far beyond the ordinary rules, as we just read. When I hear Jesus saying, "You've heard it said, but I say unto you," he's saying, "I'm going to tell you something different from what you're accustomed to." He's going beyond what's normally expected. Go farther than what's fair. Let's go to something greater, you know? Let's go to grace and forgiveness. Let's leave the kingdom of this world and enter the kingdom of God. He says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Anybody can do that. Is that hard? No, not terribly. Loving my neighbors and hating my enemies, I can do that on my own. I don't need God to help me with that. That's a piece of cake. By the way, I can find nowhere in Scripture where it says to hate your enemy. The Pharisees added that because it seemed to make sense to them. But that's why many times the Pharisees would want a specific definition of who their neighbor was, so they would know who they were really expected to love. That's why we find kindness in action in the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. You remember the story, don't you? A lawyer stood up while Jesus was speaking and he said, "Well, who then is my neighbor?" He wanted to know who he had to love and who he could forget about. But the answer that Jesus gave in the story, as he told the story of the Good Samaritan, how the priest and the Levite both passed by the injured man, but the Samaritan stopped and helped him. The question should not be, who is my neighbor? As you read that story, you realize the question should be, to whom can I be a neighbor? That changes the whole meaning of the story. Even if it's your enemy, even if it's the guy or gal who killed your brother, you see, it shuts the world of hatred up when you get off your donkey and you get down in the ditch and you help your enemy. Ooh, Samaritans and Jews were enemies. It sort of quiets the eye for an eye crowd when you hug your brother's killer and give her the word of God, because your belief has moved from your lips to your lifestyle. And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus' questions resonate in this passage of Scripture. He said, if you love those who love you, what reward do you get? And if you greet only your neighbors, brothers, what are you doing more than others? Hey, that rhymes. If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? I never realized that. But if we claim to follow Jesus, but we're no different from anybody else, we can't be any influence for the Lord. You just have to hear His voice saying, get off your donkey, hug her, give her a Bible, speak gently, love your enemy. Let me bring this to a conclusion pretty soon with three P's concerning how to be kind when it's hard to do. The three P's are persecution and prayer and perfection. And Jesus dealt with those in this passage of Scripture. He says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Praying for your persecutor goes against everything we feel like doing, doesn't it? Our emotions say, this is an evil person, he's mean, he's hateful, he's my enemy. And many times we didn't realize he was our enemy until that hateful letter came, or the gossip started to circulate, or he slaps you in the face. It's shocking. And our first reaction is, God, give him arthritis. Or something like that. Make his life miserable so he can see how horrible he is. That's our first reaction. But Jesus says something amazing in this text. He said, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. I can't ever refer to that passage of scripture without reciting a little poem I learned a long time ago. God sends the rain. Well, I can't even remember it now. It was a long time ago I learned it, see. But God makes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. But mostly on the just. Because the God makes the rain to fall on the just and unjust fellow. But mostly on the just. Because the unjust has a just umbrella. Well, it seemed funny to me when I learned it. Anyway, God treats all of us. He doesn't pick and choose. He's good to everybody. And the power of the statement is that God loves those who love Him, and He loves those who don't love Him. He loves those who deserve His love, and He loves those who don't deserve it. By the way, none of us really deserves His love. But if we use this as a filter for our prayers, for our persecutors, it might not change them, but it will change us. I'm not talking about justifying their meanness. It's okay to speak the truth about what they did, but that truth better be spoken with love. And that's not so easy when you're all fired up about what somebody's done to you. Well, what if I remember all the times when I needed God's grace and I didn't deserve it, when I was mean or thoughtless or unkind? What if I remember all of God's goodness to me when I didn't deserve it? And I use that as a springboard to pray for people who persecuted me. What if I pray with a heart of hope instead of a heart of hate? What if my prayer is, God, make me more like You. God, help me to greet and love those who've given me the cold shoulder. Help me to love my enemies, because You loved me when I was Your enemy. Well, Jesus ends the passage with a word about being perfect. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, when I hear that, I think of all the hard sayings of Jesus, this has got to be the hardest. Be perfect like God? Ain't no way that's going to happen. Look at me. I'm stubborn. I'm flawed. I'm fallible. I kept singing the wrong words in the hymns today. I make a lot of mistakes. There's no way I can be perfect. And before you shout too loud an amen, you go home and look in the mirror. The word for perfect that Jesus used here is teleos. It means complete or finished. It's used 19 times in the New Testament. And one of the best examples of what he's saying is when he told the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler came to him and said, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, go sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will be perfect. Teleos. He was saying that's the one thing you lack for being complete. This one thing, go and do that and finish it up. Go sell your stuff and give the money to the poor. And he walked away from Jesus an incomplete person because he had a lot of possessions. Jesus is simply saying, if you want to be complete, if you want to be a finished product, if you want to function like God made His children to function, then love like this. And if you realize that's the way God loved you when He gave His Son to die for you, then you might want to line up with Jesus and be part of the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of this world. We're going to sing a hymn to invite you to do that. To surrender your life to a King who loved you when you were His enemy. And it's number 452 in your hymn book. We're going to sing just the first and the last verses. Where He leads me, I'll follow. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. Let's pray together. Now, our Heavenly Father, we separate from one another, certainly not from You. We ask You to abide in our hearts every moment of our lives as we pray and go about our lives. We ask You to walk with us wherever we go. May our aim always be to please You. May our joy always be that You love and care for us. Keep these promises ever bright before us of that glorious day when we shall be truly and completely Your people. We pray this because we want to be Your children. In Jesus' name, amen.